If you can't get enough of the Mixing Music Podcast and want three times the amount of episodes every week, subscribe to our exclusive content for only $4 a month or $40 a year at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Mixing Music Podcast. I am your host, Lou, and today with me is my lovely co-host, the one, the only, the mythic, the legend, DK Goggins.
Lou said he wanted to start this episode this time because you ended it last time. Yeah. Well, one of the episodes, you ended it and you heard me say, oh shit, as we made it out. I was like, yeah, you've never ended it before. So, all right, he wanted
and not
to
only
start.
That, but this one was a recommendation from, I'm blanking on his name. He's a fan of and listener of the podcast. He bought the desk from you. When we stayed behind, you got busy with a mix, you had to head back,
but we were talking.
He's like, man, he's like the David Goggins of like music. We should call him DK Goggins. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to intro that.
That's
funny.
And
so I've been holding on to that for like, what, 2-3 weeks now?
There you go. And, I'm actually hoping to do my first official ultra marathon this year.
Holy shit.
That's one of my goals.
Wait, are you doing
the
San Diego to LA?
No. It's going to be a 50 mile in like a 2 mile loop.
Oh shit.
That's the one I'm thinking about. So it's like a 10 to 12 hour thing.
Okay.
We'll see what happens, but it's really weird. This is like one of the things that I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been like saying this jokingly to friends, but like now, like I'm saying it joking, but with the joke, you know, it's kind of real sometimes.
Yeah.
Not always, but sometimes it's like comes from a real place.
Funny things aren't funny unless they're real.
Yeah. And so I've been joking and last year I learned to be happy. That's not a joke. Like I've gotten really good at being happy and content.
That's hilarious.
But the problem is that it was that insanely deep insecurity and desire to prove myself that was like a big motivating factor for my success.
Yeah.
Like without that, I don't think I would have gotten to where I am now. So it's like, it's interesting. Like it's a double-edged sword. Like, oh wow, I'm actually happy, which means it's like, I don't need a Grammy to prove myself.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, I kind of like, I'm grieving over the past DK that would have done anything, not anything, but would have done a lot more to win a Grammy. But like now I'm in a point where it's like, oh, I'll just get one when I get one. It's a matter of time. It's fine.
Yeah. Just keep working and it'll eventually happen.
Yeah. Which is like kind of scary too. Cause now it's like, my priorities changed. Anyway, today's episode is about the Grammys.
Yeah.
Lou and I are both members of the Grammys, and it's funny because we have a lot of wild opinions about it.
Yeah.
Some that are more common, like parts of me does agree that the Grammys are kind of a joke.
Yep. There's a little bit of a popularity thing that goes on.
Yeah, definitely a lot of politics that are really, really obvious, and we see them from the inside. But at the same time, the Grammys is also this really cool thing that I think that It would be a shame to not properly acknowledge.
Exactly.
That, because it is one of the, like, there's not a lot of industries that takes the time to award contributors during the year like the Grammys do.
Yeah.
Again, double-edged sword, but I think that, like, my dad, who does, like, tech stuff, mm-hmm. you know, who always did, like, tech stuff, and it's like, dude, he's not getting the same. The Grammys is a totally bigger deal. Like, it's a worldwide.
We're not televising that. There might be something in the industry, like a small little within the industry convention, but it's like, nothing that CBS cares to put on.
I think the biggest award ceremony that the general business has is like Forbes Awards, which is like there's not a televised event. There's not as much social clout
it's a magazine.
As like a Grammy, which is interesting. We can talk about why it's like the what we just talked about, the insecurity versus content and finding happiness in between. But
and finding that middle ground that's ultimately necessary.
Yeah, I'm going to naturally talk about that because y'all know one of the quirks of this podcast is my my like and for philosophy, psychology, and ethics. And but we're not going to talk about that yet. But first, let's talk about. So I went to the Grammys. You didn't go this year, but I went to the Grammys and I took a friend of mine, Mitchell Bashford, who is a great producer. He just moved out here. He's very green in LA. And he was saying a lot of cool things like, oh my goodness, the one of the things that he said, because we went to some pregame parties. We went to some parties before the Grammys and then we went to the actual event. And he mentioned just meeting people. Mm-hmm. It's like you start to realize how human they are.
Yeah.
Like Taylor Swift and you know, Mariah Carey feel like these goddesses and that like these untouchable things, but they're like everyone around you. And if you meet them in person, it's actually really like normal, really human. And there's something that I've been trying to articulate, but I haven't said out loud, but I think you kind of, and I'm going to try to say this, forgive me. I'm attempting to formulate this thought out loud here live on the podcast. But I've also noticed the more that we work hard and the more people that we reach, we start to see ourselves at a higher level.
Yeah.
And then we start to feel slowly over the years, we start to feel like we belong at higher levels.
We've put ourselves on the pedestal.
Yeah. Like right now for me and probably for you too, like Taylor Swift is still an untouchable. Mm-hmm. She's like way above us. But like I met like meeting someone like Lewis Cole or Corey Henry, who like we're big fans of. It's like, oh, like, you're human. Like, we can be friends, you know? Yeah. And, like, it kind of, like, humanizes them. And it's really interesting because the more that we do, the more that we feel like we belong, the easier it is to approach these people and the more you realize. And I don't know, there's something about it. Like, the levels you go up, and you can only go up levels if you've been working really hard at it. I think it's like an ego thing. Like, you like if you, like, who've only have maybe had 2 years of recording professionally in Louisiana, all of a sudden gets to work with Chris Brown, like you might feel like some sort of dissonance
there. Super
nervous. Yeah. But like, if you've been working in LA for a while with other R&B artists and all of a sudden you get into Chris Brown, it's like, it's just smooth, you know, emotionally speaking. There's something about that. So, something about people, well, I think naturally put themselves at the level that they think they're at. Like it's an ego thing. But it's really fun because at the Grammys, you go there and then you start to realize I think it's really practical because you go there and you're like, oh my gosh, these are all the same people as us.
Yeah.
They're just fucking nerds like we are.
Yep.
Just socially anxious.
It's like, it's as if a room full of hermits suddenly joined.
Yeah. Other than the performers, right?
Yeah.
And the, who are very good at that. But, that's the first thing. I think let's talk about the importance of the Grammys. Why is the Grammys important, Lou?
Ooh, double-edged sword response. They are and they aren't. They're really important because, like, if you think about, like, how we look at our industry, how we see success, they're kind of like a driving motivator to up our quality. We think that
raising the standard.
Exactly. One of my favorite awards to look at is performance of the year for each genre, because it gives me a reason to want to look for a new artist. Because if they're being celebrated for their performance quality and not necessarily the mix or who was involved, I'm curious to hear it. So, like, Under Oath, a metal band that I listened to, last year they were nominated for a Grammy for, I forget the name of the song, like tooth something, something in the tooth. I forget. But every time I listen to that song, it just makes me want to work out. The energy behind it, like the literal performance was warranting that Grammy nomination. It just kind of makes me think like, I want to work with somebody who has this level of like aggression in their music. Like they really feel passionate while recording, or you can hear that passion translate. So like the Grammys gives us something to shoot for.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because like, I remember watching the Grammys once in passing. Like, I wasn't a super follower as a kid, but even as a kid, it's like, oh my gosh, like,
the stars.
It's inspiring, and it should be. Like, it's like, oh my gosh, like, I want to get there someday.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's a good thing.
Well, like, the way I see it is, like, as an artist, being recognized in the Grammy stage is kind of like, let's put all politics aside. Being recognized, period, on a national level to where your favorite
international
artist...
International, maybe.
But let's... Beyonce might know who the next best artist is now. And if Beyonce is somebody you grew up wanting to be around, it's like, here's your opportunity. You've now been put on the platform that puts you on stage with her. This is the thing that we're shooting for as artists. As engineers, we don't necessarily think like, oh, Grammy is going to prove that I'm the greatest mix engineer. But low-key, it puts us on that, like, I'm actually a Grammy winning engineer. This is huge. I've hit a certain milestone,
and it's different. It does serve a practical purpose for like careers. Like if you win a Grammy, then all of a sudden your budgets are going up.
Like, but how many times have we found out that people won a Grammy by surprise? Like, it was, they weren't really trying to go for the Grammy. It just we got nominated this year. Holy shit.
Actually, my buddy, John Rezin, shout out to you, John, who did a Daddy D interview that I released. He told me the story of how he won a Grammy last year. He did like the Bridgerton musical, mixed the Bridgerton musical.
Yeah.
And it won for Broadway or like musical soundtrack or something like that.
Yeah.
And so he got a physical Grammy for mixing it. But he said like he gave like really buddy friends price, like way, like... Even after they tipped him extra afterwards, it was still only a fraction of what he would have normally charged. But he's like, and I just happened to win a Grammy. Like the one time I do a musical. He doesn't do musicals like that.
What's funny is back when I worked at Sam Ash, my old department manager, like everybody's like, oh yeah, he actually knows what he's doing. He's actually a Grammy nominated engineer. And I'm like, why is he working at Sam Ash? And I started talking to him and I asked him like, you know, I heard you want like, won a Grammy or got nominated for one. He's like, yeah, I got nominated for one and I won another. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, for best jazz performance.
Oh, jazz. That's tough.
Yeah. In 2012.
Tough. Oh, that's tough.
So jazz wasn't really huge in 2012. Not like jazz hip hop.
It's
after.
Not huge now either. What
you know, Robert Glasper got nominated.
I think
you know,
it's more
this
bigger
year.
Now.
Yeah. It's bigger now than it was in 2012 for sure. But that's kind of my point. Like at a certain point, like there's also that like double-edged sword of like, just cause you have a Grammy doesn't mean you are quality or necessarily have hit this mark. So that's the double-edged side of why are the Grammys important. It gives us something to strive for, but sometimes it's like that, like you were playing a video game and you actually won the boss fight on accident, but you don't feel as proud as if you won it with skill and intent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, before you sign off and just decide to leave the podcast because this is an episode that's unrelated to you, the reason why we want to do this episode is because if you are, again, the point of this entire podcast, the Mixing Music podcast, is we're trying to help engineers get on a career path as an engineer, right? So like kind of to become professional. We're not talking to hobbyists here. And whether or not you like it, the Grammys is a big part of the music industry that you're going to have to live with and to cope with. The worst way that you can cope with it is by hating on it and not wanting to be a part of it. I think that's an unhealthy way. Yeah. And I think you're gonna naturally reject a lot of the opportunities that are gonna come your way if you hate on it. Like don't spend the energy hating on it.
Yeah. And if your concern is that each year you try to work on projects that need to get nominated and never get nominated or whatever, just remember Snoop got nominated for like 16 Grammys, never took home one, yet he's still one of the most legendary hip hop artists in the world.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a Grammy or a nomination to be amazing.
Of course not.
Yeah. How many times have we seen where like some, wasn't it Braden that actually went toe to toe as like the new mastering guy on the block with a Grammy winning one won a shootout?
From a skill. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a very subjective one. But.
Exactly. But, you know, the point is like, there's going to be many times where your quality is just as up to par. You just haven't gotten a Grammy or haven't been in that realm yet, but eventually you will.
Yeah, and that it is an important thing to recognize and to be a part of. Eventually, I mean, even if you don't win one or if that's not a goal of yours, this is a really good quote that Leslie said to me. He said, and this has a lot to do with, because I think hating the Grammys is a big dangerous indicator. Like, I think that's going to hurt your careers. And here's why. Leslie said to me, as soon as you think today's music is irrelevant, your career becomes irrelevant.
Yeah.
So as a mix engineer, one of our jobs is to constantly be analyzing and implementing new trends as far as like tonal trends.
Yeah.
So like we, not only are we mixers, but we should be music analyzers.
Yeah.
Like we're always referencing other mixers, other songs, things that are trending. Like there was a few years back, like when Posty was starting to get big, it's like Post Malone was starting to get big. It was like really washy reverbs, tons of that sort of stuff. Like you got to keep watching the industry and see how it's moving. Mm-hmm. And then you can implement that into your own songs or do something totally different. But you don't know, you can't have a direction. You can't pick intentionally whether to do the same thing everybody else is doing or to do the complete opposite if you don't know what's going on. And I think there's a lot of wisdom into what Leslie said. I think there's something to do with like, I don't necessarily like the idea of the secret or like manifesting necessarily, because I think it's more about actions. But like, I do think that if you hate on the Grammys or if you hate on wealthy people, what you're doing is manifesting poverty and manifesting a lack of success. That's all it is.
I can see that.
Really. Yeah. And so it's like, there's no point in hating on it. There's no point. Like, I think that things are unfair and that's how it always is. There's going to be politics. That's how it always is. But once you're in that position, you hope there's fucking nepotism. Like once your friend has the power to give you a Grammy, you're like, oh, out of all the times that I hated it, now I feel a lot of dissonance because now I want you to practice nepotism on me. You know, like
it's kind of funny because like as soon as people know you're on the Grammy board, you suddenly also start hearing them reach out to you where it's like, please help me get there. Please help me get there.
Yeah. And dude, it's like, it's of course I'm going to vote for my friends.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
like,
part
of the
reason.
There's only so many categories you can vote for because, I think it's limited of what, 5 categories you can do? Right? So.
No, 3.
3?
3 and then the general categories. So you can vote for 3 categories. So you can pick like producers, dance, music, or whatever. Yeah. And then you got the generals, which is the ones that they televise. So, but I did like mixed visual media to vote for Hogwarts Legacy because my buddy of mine was nominated for that.
Oh, shit. That's
Peter
cool.
Murray and J. Scott Ricozzi were nominated for that.
Nice. Shout out
EA,
to them.
EA and Star Wars won that. That was like one of the biggest upsets of the night.
I'm kind of surprised.
I did like R&B, I think, and I did one more. I don't remember the last category. And then there's the generals, which is like best album record of the year that everybody gets to vote for. Anyway, what were we talking about? Okay.
Basically, like a lot of times, like people want, they hate on it for a certain amount of time. But once they actually start getting closer, they're like, well, maybe it's a good idea. I start getting involved. And here's where it's kind of funny. I saw an uptick in work once people found out I was part of the Grammy board. I definitely saw a financial benefit.
Member, not board. Member.
Yeah, member. You know, whatever they want to call it. We talked about this earlier. I have not paid enough attention to I didn't even know if my membership was still active. I just had to verify. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Fees are paid, whatever. But still, even then, it's like, people that are part of this kind of a realm of like looking to get a Grammy or making sure that they put enough work and conscious effort into their project's success will also look for nomination opportunities and win opportunities. So part of that is also forming a team of members who actually are in there, because guess what? People are going to vote for themselves. And that's kind of the funny thing. If people have invested interest in a project that you're working on and they're all connected in these kind of circles, chances are you could be in that realm too. But that's kind of the downside of it too, because they also recognize that people will just want to join in just because they see opportunity. So a lot of times, when you see people hitting you up constantly just because they want the vote or they want something, you kind of have to ask yourself, like, how much is this related to my actual success versus favors for others?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that we want to talk about real quick. I think this is important. So if you've been sticking around this long in this episode, which is kind of talking about the Grammys is this weird, facetious topic. So yeah. Thank you. If you've been listening this long, thank you. Here's how you get into the Grammys. Let me spell this secret for you. It's not really a secret. So how you become a member, this is how it works.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, every member
into my feet finder.
Every current member has two nominations that they can give out every year, and that refreshes around the springtime. Okay, so Lou and I both have two recommendations. I try to give out both of them every single year to my friends.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Do not ask me. Okay, if you are a listener of the podcast, do not ask me for a recommendation. I'm not. I have people that I know personally that I'm always planning on giving them to.
Yeah.
Don't ask us. Don't ask Lou. Don't bombard us. But you need to find two friends that you're close with, get two recommendations, and then you have to upload your credits, which means you have to get your credits in order.
Yeah, before you even get involved.
Yeah, so I remember the first time I got my recommendations and I submitted. I spent like 2 to 4 hours getting my credits all in order before submitting it. Once you submit it, I don't know if there's an application fee. I don't think there is.
I don't remember there being a fee.
Yeah, it takes about a year for them to review all of the next generation applicants and to approve them or to deny them. And then it's like the yearly fee. I think it's like $150. They just changed it to $150 yearly fee. And you get to go to... You're not even allowed to buy tickets to the Grammys unless you're a member. Great, weird, kind of weird move. And then they also do a few times a year, they do Grammy events, which is really great for meeting people. If you're an aggressive networker, that's
like there
a really
was a
great place
free event
people.
For members, I think on Saturday, right?
Yeah. And it's a really, I do think Mitchell Bashford, the guy that I took, the producer that I took to the Grammys, he met with Dale Becker, who we talked about on a couple episodes ago, mastering engineer, worked on the SZA album this year, which SZA had a phenomenal year. Kill Bill is like one of my favorite songs. Na 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 na. Anyway, okay. But for some reason, Dale told Mitch that a big part of his career growth was being part of the Grammy Awards, like getting involved as quickly as possible. I wouldn't say that it's, I wouldn't put a lot of weight on it, especially if mm-hmm. you're not local in LA, but they do have chapters all over the US, all over the world. Yeah. So if you know people in your local area, I mean, might as well ask, shoot your shot.
Yeah.
See if you can get involved. As far as like to get denied, here's the thing. I got accepted like 3 years ago when my credits were not good.
Yeah.
Like not as good as they are now. Like they're, and I don't know if it's because I name dropped on my application of like some actual board members and some like high level people that did nominate me. I got a nomination from someone doing pretty well within the Academy. And I wonder if that's it, but I should, like if a part of me wonders if I got in, mm-hmm. then it's a lot easier to get in than people think. But it also yeah. might have been because I had a really solid recommendation.
The thing I'm always weary about is when you have fees to be part of something, then, you know,
they
obviously
want more members,
they want yeah. more members, you know. And the private events that you can only get into if you're a member are also not very cheap.
No. Most of them are free. The ones
I'm talking about like
the
shows and stuff. Like, if you wanted to see, like, I forget which country group it was. It was like $650 for like a single ticket, which is like Beyonce numbers for nosebleeds. But then if you wanted like the VIP package where you could actually like sit
down. Are you talking about the Grammys?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about just a Beyonce show?
No, the Grammys. And then like the upper echelon tickets, you had to put like your member ID number.
Yeah, it's like $350 to like $5,000 to $10,000 a ticket, depending
exactly.
on which seat
yeah,
you
yeah,
and
all of this goes to the Academy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and these events are what funds a lot of what the Academy does. So
of course.
It makes sense, but it's you know, there's a lot of private things that you can go to where you're like, you know what, maybe there's maybe have a networking and like networking marketing budget, and you think, okay, you know what, this $500 ticket to this event might be worth it because the other people there also paid $500 to be here, so they're all motivated to make these $500 worth it.
Yeah, it's interesting because it the one thing that it does do is it puts a lot of people who are not in the right headspace, but I want to say like it puts
right
a lot
mindset.
Of driven people that want that know what they want in the industry.
Yeah, in the same room.
Yeah, that's all it is. And it's actually really good. I wouldn't weigh it as heavily as Dale Becker did, but I also am not as experienced as Dale Becker. So
yeah.
like I maybe
that
it is
a
big
machine.
Deal. Maybe it is a big deal. I don't know. I would at least try to get those recommendations. If you're listening now and if you've been doing in the industry for a while, like might as well try.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing. And depending on where you're at, they always host like local parties and whatnot. It's only $150 a month. Even working minimum wage, $150 a year, and even working minimum wage, that's definitely doable. And if that's not a priority, it's not a big deal. But I think it is decent. I think it's worth the price just for the networking and being a part of something.
It's kind of like if you want to look at it in a very simple way, if you could get in the room with managers and producers, people working on various projects, and they're looking for their team members and everything, and you present yourself as one of their own, so to speak, like you're in the same room, you're both part of the Grammy board and everything, you probably have a better opportunity at like going after a Grammy or just new opportunities than if you went to your typical open mic where, you know, it's just everybody who just wants an opportunity to perform in front of people is at open mic. You can still find some amazing artists and help develop them, but we're talking about being in a room with people who have already developed.
Yeah, and being in a room with people that are already developed is really great. And there's two other things that I want to talk about before the episode closes.
Sure.
And one is a shout out of our friends.
Because I
don't want to talk about like our favorite albums and whatnot, because I think that doesn't really matter because people won who won. It's not about, I'm not here to share my opinion necessarily, but congrats, biggest congrats to Tizio this year.
I know.
Because he didn't just win a Grammy, he won the best engineered album.
Yep.
Like him and Neil Pogue.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Neil Pogue is a big influence on my mentor, Leslie Brathwaite.
Mm-hmm.
I think the story goes, Leslie saw him enter a room, or Leslie entered his studio, a studio room that Neil was working out of when they were both really young.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that a mixer, you can just mix.
Yeah.
And like that changed Leslie's career forever. I think that's how the story goes. I might be totally wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. But Neil Pogue is awesome. Also, a big part of a lot of modern hip hop music right now. Most recently, like Tyler the Creator, like that's all.
Yeah, he was cool. On that. Yeah,
yeah, and he's an OG. He's been in the game for a long time. I finally got to meet Neil Pogue as well. So congrats to Baines. Or yep. Not Baines,
no,
TZO. Sorry, TZO. Congrats
to TZO. I mean, we always see them together.
Yeah, congrats to TZO for winning not just any Grammy, but the Best Engineer album. That's no joke.
It was really nice seeing, he posted a photo where his wife Ashley had prepared like a happy congratulations TZO balloon set up at his house and everything.
Yeah.
Like all that thought was put into before he even got home. I was like, nice.
Yeah, dude, I'm sure, dude. Yeah, he even posted about how unreal it feels.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so amazing. He went up on stage. Like, that's the only award that, like, one of the only awards that the engineer gets on the stage for. So he was on TV. Let's see. We also had nominations across the board.
Jesse.
We had Jesse Ernster, who has been on the show multiple times. He worked on Burna's record, which included 21 Savage.
Yep.
And who else was nominated this year?
Which
means Gerhard was. Oh, we didn't talk to Gerhard on the show.
No, I don't think we have. I thought we had.
You said Morning
Estrada. Morning Estrada. He hasn't been on the show, but
has been on the show.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy, and he got his for Coco Jones ICU.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think best R&B performance of the year for that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of personal friends that haven't been on the show that we need to get on the show eventually. That got
Watch out, they might have just upped their interview fee.
Yeah. But lots of really cool names, and it's crazy to me that like 4 or 5 years ago, like when we started this podcast, I never fathomed that I could brush shoulders with these great names.
Yeah.
And then I'm able, now it's just crazy to imagine like,
yeah,
not only are we brushing shoulders with, but we're colleagues.
We're texting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we're hanging out with each other. We see each other often. Like that's it's a strange realization to come to. And I do
fingers
think,
crossed I get nominated next year.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
And then the second thing that I wanted to bring up is the process of why it's worth getting in the Grammy member, becoming a Grammy member, and the process of how nominations and voting works, real quick, to break it down for anybody that's listening. And then we'll close the show here. But once you get accepted, you're allowed to do unlimited nominations.
Yeah.
For voting, to be considered. So it's nominating to be considered for the official nomination.
Yeah.
So here's how it works. If you work with Lou and I, and we like it a lot, and we think that it could win a Grammy or be nominated at the very least, something like that, we can nominate for consideration, I think, an infinite number of songs, as far as I know.
I
need to
double
check it.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a limit. So if like, okay, best R&B album, best R&B song, best pop song, best pop performance, whatever it is, jazz, best jazz alternative album, which Lewis Cole should have won this year. That's my only opinion. I'm a huge fan of Lewis Cole. And I met him. I freaked out like a child, bro. Cool, Taylor Swift, fine. But Lewis Cole, man, I freaked out. Dude, I was shaking. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, oh, I freaked out like a child. And nobody else is going up to him because he's not famous like that, you know? But, dude, I love Lewis Cole. Huge fan. Anyway, so the way it works, so we can nominate, and what happens is then it goes into the first round of voting. So members of the Recording Academy, which is, like, people like Lou and I, we vote. So there's, like, for example, if you're in the best pop performance category, there's going to be, like, thousands of submissions. And then you go ahead and vote for your favorite one. And then whichever songs gets the most amount of votes, the top five of those become the official nominees.
Yeah.
And then there's a second round of voting where the members, after getting notified that the official nominees are now posted, we go in and we vote again. But this time we can only vote for three categories.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the categories are. There's like the general category that everybody can vote for plus three specific categories. So I did there's like R&B, there's like rap, there's dance,
there's rock,
there's producing, there's like film score, like mixed media, there's like composing,
there's spoken word.
Spoken word. I don't remember. There's like a bunch of different categories. And then there's the generals, which is album of the year, record of the year, song of the year, best new artist. Those are generals that everybody can pick.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then you do a second round of voting, and from there is when they announce the winners at the live show.
Yeah.
And I would say that, like, out of all of the number, all of all the Grammys, 98% of them are awarded in the pre-show. It's called the premiere that goes from like noon, 12:30.
Yeah, to like 6.
12:30 to right, to like right before the show starts, so like 4:30. So 12:30 to 4:30, like 4 hours, they just rapid fire announce the winners. Yeah. And that's where most of our friends wins the award. The big, big ones, the last 10, are televised.
Yeah.
And that's the one that they make a big deal out of. They run commercial breaks on CBS.
Yep.
But the majority of the Grammys is only posted on their website, and it's like,
like, you know, hours before the show.
Yeah. So, like, they're not going to usually, like, as much as I love reggae, they're not going to do best reggae song on the telecast.
Yeah, they're not going to be doing, like, best contemporary jazz.
Yeah, for real. Like, on the telecast. So that's kind of how it works.
You know, I actually wouldn't mind winning, like, a funny Grammy, though.
Yeah.
Like, a funny Grammy.
Like, Weird Al was up for one this year.
Oh, see, like, that would be a funny Grammy.
That's literally a funny Grammy. There's also a comedy award. Dave Chappelle won comedy this year.
See, that's a funny Grammy, too.
Literally a funny Grammy.
A Fammy?
Okay.
A Frammy.
Funny Grammy, Frammy. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lou. But anyway, that's kind of it. I do. Again, a part of me wants to apologize for making an episode about the Grammys, because it's like, we are all self-aware that it's kind of this like self-serving, facetious thing.
Yeah.
But also, it's an important thing at the end of the day. It's an industry thing. It's like a career thing that you should think about, that you should consider.
Like, let's put it this way. Yes, politics are there, just like most other things in the world. There's some level of politics involved.
Some is very kind.
right.
Some is very kind.
But if you were to win a Grammy or get nominated for one, it could actually be huge for your career. So, like, if you were to think about any other industry, if you were to get any kind of notoriety in it, you could actually really project yourself further than you probably could have before. Like, for instance, like, there's no award for acousticians. There really isn't. The only thing you could really do is, like, I want to one day make a studio for Capitol Records. I want to one day make a studio for East West.
There's no award for that.
That notoriety comes from your work, not from some award. As engineers, our work is typically just kind of enjoyed by the masses. And so it's really nice to have this award ceremony available for, like, the team to win something, right? But that also means that as a team, if you build the right team and you work with the right people, people that you trust and enjoy working with, if you go there, you get to all push forward in your career. This is one of those just jumping block opportunities. You don't have to go for it directly. Sometimes it happens passively for people.
Yeah.
But if you go for it, then, you know, you're more likely to actually get something out of it. And if you're just solely doing this because you want to build a better career, it doesn't hurt having a Grammy. It could actually up your pay scale.
Yeah, significantly. You can, if you can leverage it correctly. Yeah. Also, the reason why we all want the listeners to join and become Grammy members is once we get nominated,
podcast of the year.
Yeah,
please.
We want y'all to once me and Lou get independently get nominations. We want y'all to practice practical nepotism here and vote for us. Even if you hate the song, just vote for us. You know.
Yeah. Just look at this face and tell me you hate it, and then vote.
No, I'm teasing.
In that order.
I'm teasing. But thank you so much for listening. We really do think it's really interesting. We talk about this sometimes off mic. As little as the music industry is,
it's still people, pretty big.
And it's really difficult to get into. I do want to, part of this podcast, like, again, we're trying to get people to become full-time or, you know, have a career in music. And not just like audio. We're talking like music, right? And it's fun because when you see the Grammys, you also start to realize that it is possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's not some impossible, far-fetched dream. I think that there's enough to go around for those that really, truly want it.
And it's going to be tough sometimes. Literally, our friend Tizia winning this year Best Engineered Album. This dude has also been burned left and right on different projects, has been called left and right for difficult times. And I would say after winning that Grammy, I think he might look back and be like, you know what? It was worth the effort put into it.
Yeah. I agree. Well, congrats to all of our friends that got nominated and won Grammys this year. Thank you again. If you like this podcast and want to help us in a free way, you can rate us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple. We read the ratings. We read the reviews. We try to improve on it.
And sometimes we laugh at them. Not in like a mean way, but like sometimes.
Yeah, I'll say funny things on there.
Yeah, like.
Like some inside jokes.
Somebody called me handsome, and I was like, I'll take it. I'm just kidding. But somebody please do that. Somebody throw that in the comments. I'll laugh at it anyways. My wife will laugh at it and maybe get a little jealous, but for me, it'll just be fun.
Yeah. Call Lou handsome as a joke when you rate us 5 stars.
Yeah, that guy's so handsome.
Fuck. All right, whatever. Well, thank you so much for listening.
We have exclusive content.
Yeah, exclusive content. Go to masonmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get technical tips. James has been working really hard on making them better and a lot more practical. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that he's doing right now is mix breakdowns where we listen to mixes. We used to do this early on in the podcast. I used to do this, but he's revamping it. And we're doing things that we're not actually allowed to show on the public stuff, like some of my label sessions. Mm-hmm. We're talking about that and breaking him down. Like, he's asking questions like, what did you do to the kick here? And because I'm pulling up the session, I'm talking exactly plugins and settings and things like that. It's really cool. So go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive if you want more of that. And that is 2 extra episodes every single week. So on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.